Well, good morning. Isn't it great to be in God's house this morning? What an amazing testimony, and I'm so excited about you guys' trip to Vietnam. I was actually in Vietnam back in January of 2015, and God's work is going forth there, and there have been many people who have been reached there, and yet there are many, many, many people who have never heard the name of Jesus, and so I'm excited about that, and you'll hear a little more about our ministry called Duos Partners. We've planted over 200 churches in Vietnam, so it is amazing what God is doing there and around the world. For those of you who may not know who I am, my name's David Johnson. And I'm a member here at Westwood, and I was in corporate America for 14 and a half years, and then God called me into ministry where I pastored for 20 years, and then you're going to hear a little of my journey about Duos Partners today as a part of this sermon series that we're calling Quiet Time Sermons, and so we're real excited. We'd had our house for sale for 8 years in Mobile, and it sold, and we've moved here, and we've bought a new house in Ballantrae. So we're just behind the church, and we're excited to be right here, and we're loving being in the new area of Ballantrae. Lots of new people moving in, getting to meet them and build relationships with them. And so it's real exciting that I get to be here today and share with you. This is really a very different kind of message for me because, typically we like to take a passage of Scripture, exegete that passage. And one of the things that we're, sort of called to do as teachers of the Bible is to take a document that is, obviously a very old document, a historic document, and then bridge that into the current. Take this incredible Word of God that was written, several thousand years ago, and for us to be able to take that and bring that into today. So, but today's going to be a little different because I'm really excited, too, about these next 4 weeks, not only for getting to teach today, but also being able to hear, because Kenneth and Rick and I are going to be talking about what has God taught us in the middle of our quiet times? What are some of the things over the years of your walk with the Lord in these times of intimacy with God, what's God taught you? I've been a Christian for 51 years, and I've been studying the Bible. I've been on this journey. I've been on this walk, and so God has taught me so much over those periods of time, and I want to be able to share a little bit of that with you. So it's a little bit of a different approach kind of for me today. So we're going to be talking about what a quiet time is. What are the things we learn while we're in quiet times? But I want to start out by saying what a quiet time is not. Quiet time is not listening to Christian music while you drive your car. Now, is that beneficial? Yes. Is it uplifting? Yes. Can we worship the Lord while we do that? Yes. A quiet time is not, having a sermon on an iPod or on your iPhone and you're on the treadmill or you're out running or exercising. It's not having an open windows in your back pocket. Now, if you weren't raised Baptist, you don't know that an open windows is a little devotional guide that Baptists have really generated for years. Or it's not like even taking something like Jesus Calling, and then between every appointment, or if you're sitting in the line at McDonald's waiting on your food, that you're going to whip out your devotional and read it. A quiet time is not that. A quiet time is also not even breath prayers all during the day. Now, are we to pray? We are. Did Paul say to pray without ceasing? He did. Are these things beneficial to us? They are. I think it's incredible for us to listen to Christian music. I think it's incredible for us to listen to sermons. I think it's incredible for us to have devotional guides that we can follow. All those things are important. But did you notice? All those things are the things that we do on the go, on the move. And yet the Bible very clearly teaches us in Psalm 46, it says to be still and know that I am God. Would you guys agree with me this morning that we're not very good at still? We live in a culture that from the time our feet hit the floor until the time literally we pass out to get into bed at night, we are running with our hair on fire. Can I get an amen to that? I mean, it's like, are you really kidding me? I mean, we live in this culture that's in a perpetual state of motion. As a matter of fact, we live in a culture today that would actually look at the word still as being non-productive. And yet, for a believer, I believe the most productive time in our Christian journey is when we're still and knowing that He is God. So one of the things that I want us to do is I want us to learn to take our foot off the gas, to be still, and to allow God to speak to us, and for us to speak to Him, for us to learn from Him, and for Him to teach us. Here's the key phrase for the talk today. I want you to write this down. I hope you have your outlines. They were in the order of service, so if you'll take that out. I want us to do active learning, active listening today. I know that means a lot to me. If you'll watch me, I sit right over here at the 8:30 service, and man, I'm writing all over everything. That's how I learn. That's how I remember. So I want you to write this down. In order to have an intimate relationship with Christ, let me just say, if I were to ask every believer in this room, if you want to have an intimate relationship with Christ, I believe every hand would go up. Every hand would go up. I believe every Christian desires that. But in order to have that, and I want you to write this, you have to show up. You have to show up. Because in the middle of this fast-paced world and all that's going on, and we're trying to have this intimacy on the go, when the truth of the matter is that intimacy comes when we stop and we show up for our divine appointment every day with the Lord. And yet most believers today do not have a daily, set-apart, meaningful, quiet time with the Lord. Let me ask you, how many of you struggle in having a quiet time and doing it consistently? I think most of us, I know I have in my 51 years of being a Christian. I mean, I've had stretches where I didn't miss one for a year and then I didn't do one for a year. I mean, it's crazy how this journey that we're on, Satan fights nothing harder in my life than this time, because he knows that when I spend time with the Lord, that it's making a difference in my life. So we need to certainly be on the trajectory to being able to do that every day. So here's the key word that I want us to look at today. I want you to write this down. The key word is open. So in this journey I've been on, the Lord has continually taught me, when you come into my presence, I'm expecting you to be open. I'm expecting you to be open. Listen, I've talked to people before that said, listen, when I'm talking to God, in essence, I'm negotiating with Him. You know, I'll do this, I'll do that, but I'm not going to Africa, and I'm not going to India, and I'm not going across the street and share the gospel with my neighbor, and I'm not. Listen. God wants us to come in His presence with a spirit of openness, that we're to be open to His word. We're to be open to what He has for us. We're to be open to hear from Him. So the Lord has really taught me to be open in three areas. So I've kind of taken 51 years of a walk with Christ, and I've boiled it down into three things that God has taught me, and I've got 30 minutes to communicate it to you. So let me just tell you, I'm not going to get it all done, but these are the words I believe that the Lord has for me to share with you today. So number one, I want you to write this. The three things that the Lord tells me to be open about. He wants me to have an open head, an open heart, and open hands. So write that down. An open head, an open heart, and open hands. So what does He want my head to be open to? So write this, the Word of God. God wants me to open my mind, open my head to the Word of God. Did you guys know that every one of us in this room are theologians? Did y'all know that? Did y'all know that you're a theologian? And you're going to, hang on a minute, time out. I don't even understand the definition of theology. How can I be a theologian when I don't even understand what theology is? So I'm going to give you a definition today, and it's going to be very encouraging to you. So I want you to write this down, because this is what theology means. It simply means thinking about the things of God. So let me ask you, do you guys think about the things of God? Do you? Y'all, this means yes. This means no. Yes. if you think about the things of God, raise your hand, would you? All right, look, you're halfway there. You're halfway to be a theologian. How about that? So here you go. So you're thinking about the things of God, and then I want you to write this, and then sharing those thoughts in some way, communicating those thoughts in some way. You know, there are people who are actually doing this in places like Facebook and Twitter, and they're writing about what they're thinking and learning about the things of God in emails. They're teaching Sunday school classes with that. They're preaching sermons from that, and they're sharing with their coworkers about things that they're learning about the things of God, what they're thinking about and what they're learning, and they're sharing that. That's what theology is. So when you think about that, if we're thinking about the things of God and we're sharing about the things that we're learning, then we have a grasp of theology and we are actually being theologians. Now, true, we may be amateur theologians, but we are still theologians. As a matter of fact, I love the quote by Dr. Charles Ryrie, who wrote the book Basic Theology. I've been through it a couple of times, an incredible book. So I've kind of built you up. Now I'm going to kind of take the wind out of our sails, okay? I just want to go ahead and let you know that in advance. Look at what he says. He says, there's nothing wrong with being an amateur theologian or a professional theologian, but there is everything wrong with being an ignorant or a sloppy theologian. Let me just say this morning, I've been in Bible studies, you know, all over the world, literally. I've had quiet times. I've had, you know, we've had community groups in our home. You know, we've had times in places. I have been amazed at the number of people who have been Christians for years and years and years who really don't know the Bible. I'm amazed at how many times I hear verses of the Bible taken out of context. I'm amazed at how many people who will be in a Bible study and will start to share, well, this is how I feel about this, or this is what I think about this. And I always kind of run through my head, you know, due respect, I really don't care how you feel about something as it relates to the Word. I want to know what the Word says, don't you? I want to know what the truth of the Word is. And so we really are an ignorant society as it relates, unfortunately, to the Word. Did you know that 88% of Americans own a Bible? As a matter of fact, of the ones who own a Bible, they own 4.7 Bibles. Now, I hadn't figured out yet how you have a 0.7 Bible. Maybe you have. I have not. Maybe they tore part of it out and gave part of it away. So that would be awesome if they did. But you know, of the people in America who own Bibles, 37% of them read them only four times a year. And you're going, wow, really? Is that even possible? Really? Or is that true? But you're going, what? Hang on a minute, David. That's Americans. That's not Christians. That's not churchgoers. Well, let me give you a statistic. And I want you to write this down. 19% of churchgoers read their Bible every day. So look around this room. Because I just want you to know, I mean, when you look around this room and you look at churchgoers, people who are attending church, only 19% of us read the Bible every day. I mean, listen, guys, this word is literally given to us from the creator of the universe and to the sustainer of the universe. God himself has given us his word. Now, who wrote the Bible? You see, we think there are 40 authors, but there's really not. There's only one. The Holy Spirit of God spoke to 40 men over a 1,500-year period in history. That's how we got the Bible. This is literally the Word of God to us. How is it that we don't know it better than we know it? Why is only 19% of us reading this every day? How is that possible? This is God's Word to his church, to his people. We ought to absolutely be heavily pursuing what he has to say to us. Now, I can hear what you're screaming. I mean, you're screaming, come on, David, you have no idea about my life. I mean, I'm flat out. I don't have time. Let me just tell you, we have time to watch TV. Oh, man, I'm fixing to go to Medlin, aren't I? Here's the deal. If you take out sleeping and you take out time at work or school or whatever, you take out those things, if you look at the available time, The average American watched 4 hours of TV a day. That equates to 2 months a year of available watching or doing other things time. I just turned 60 on Thursday, so man, that 65 thing is getting out there for me. At the age of 65, the average American will have watched TV for 9 years. You want to know a truth? We will give time to what's most important to us. Paul writes in Romans chapter 12, he says, "And do not be conformed to this world." Let me ask you, when you watch TV, and even you watch the commercials on TV, are you uplifted by that? Is that driving you to truth? Is that driving you to the things of God? Well, let me just tell you, at the age of 60, when I watch what I see on commercials on TV today, those would be considered R-rated when I was growing up. Hollywood and our country has an agenda. And that agenda is being clearly shown to us by television and movies and the books that we read. Paul says, don't be conformed to this world, which we see in HD. He says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renewing our mind through the study of God's word. He goes on to write to his understudy Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:16. He says, all scripture, not some of it, all of it, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for what? For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. What does the word righteous mean? It means being in a right relationship and a right standing before God. How do we have a right relationship and be in a right standing before God? It is because we are studying the scripture that God has given us. Now, you may be going, now, hang on a second, David. He said, you know, I've really never had anyone teach me how to study the Bible or give me some really good material to use to study the Bible. Well, let me just say, I am so thankful that a young man, when I was the executive pastor, at Hunter Street for 8 years here in our city, had a young man who had only been a believer about 2 years. He got saved when he was 25. He walked up to me and he started challenging me about my Bible study. Now, you got to get this, a two-year-old Christian who's 27 years old, who walks up to me, well, I'm the executive pastor. What do you mean? You don't walk up to me and ask me about my study and my time with the Lord. Who do you think you are, you little young whippersnapper? You know, I'm like, you got to be kidding me. He said, no. He said, I want to know how much time you spend in the study of God's word. I want to know what tools you're using to study God's word. I want to know how God is changing you as a result. He said, I'm not talking about you preparing to preach a message. He said, I'm talking about your personal study. I want to know what God's teaching you, how God's changing you. So I started looking. I said, man, what? And he's the one who said to me, listen. He said, J. Vernon McGee has a Bible commentary that's called Through the Bible. How many of you in here have heard of the name J. Vernon McGee? Let me see your hands. Not many of us, but most of us who've been around just a little time. J. Vernon died in 1989. He was from Texas. He had a Texas drawl. When you hear him speaking about Jesus on the radio, he was that Texan. He wrote a series of 5 books called Through the Bible. And when my friend said to me, if you're looking for a keep it simple, stupid way to study the Bible, J. Vernon McGee will walk you through and he will take the depths of the scripture and he will make it understandable. So for the next 3.5 years, that little young man said, I tell you what, he said, let's study the Bible through together. I said, well, how do you want to do that? He said, you get up at 4:30, I'll get up at 4:30. He said, let's study the Bible for 2 hours. Let's talk on the phone every day. For the next 3.5 years, that young man and I studied the Bible through, all the way through, from start to finish. It was so rich. It was such a great start for me. Let me just say, if you're looking for a way to really start to get to know the Word, then that's one way that you could use. So I wanted to encourage you about that. So I'm to have an open head to the Word of God. Second, I am to have an open heart to the will of God. An open head to the Word of God and an open heart to the will of God. I have learned, and I want you to write this down because this is so important. I have learned it is impossible to understand the will of God without having a grasp of the Word of God. How I've learned the voice of God and understand when the voice of God is speaking to me is I've learned that because I've learned His Word and I recognize His Word when He speaks it to me. Now, I love what the writer of Psalm 143 says, and I also love what he doesn't say, because he doesn't say, show me your will. Any of you ever prayed that? I have. Lord, show me your will. That seems like a very logical thing for us to pray. He didn't say, Lord, let me experience your will, because a lot of the study and practice of the Holy Spirit and the will is all about experience, how you experience things. But what does he say here? He says, teach me. Teach me your will, for you are my God. I have learned about the will of God through the Word of God. I've also learned there's really kind of two parts. There are two different sort of parts to the will of God. And I want you to write this down. There's a corporate part and there's an individual part. A corporate part and an individual part. Now, corporately, God has a will and a purpose and a plan for His people. He has a purpose and a will and a plan for us as the church. Oftentimes, when you look in the Word and you hear God speak, He's speaking to every one of us as followers of His. So when He says, go and make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all things I have commanded you, and lo, as you go, I go with you, that's for all of us. When He says, be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth, that's for all of us collectively. When Jesus said, I've come to seek and save that which was lost, in Luke 19:10, and then over into John 20:21, He says, as the Father sent me, so do I send you. That's for all of us. But listen carefully. The God of the universe also has a specific call and assignment for you personally, that He's given you a spiritual gift to carry out the call that He has for you and the call He has for me. And so this specific call, this specific assignment that we have fits inside the whole of what it is He has for us to accomplish as the church. So we're not all eyes and we're not all ears and we're not all, you know, hands and we're not all feet. We all have a part in the body, right? We all have a role to play, and that comes whenever we have a heart that is open to the will of God. Look at what Psalm 119 says, one of my favorite chapters in the entire Old Testament. It says, I have inclined my heart. And that word in the Hebrew, inclined, means to stretch out. I'm stretching out my heart. I'm extending my heart. My heart is resolved. My heart is purposed to do what? It says to perform your statutes forever, which that phrase in the Hebrew means to do. I'm stretching toward. I'm pressing toward. I'm stretching out. I'm resolved in my heart to do the will of God. Let me just say, when you do that, then the Psalm 40 verse even makes more sense, where it says, I delight to do your will, O God, and your law, your statutes, your precepts, your truth, all of those things are in my heart. So how hard is that? I mean, as you understand the Word of God and you start to grasp the will of God and you start to recognize the voice of God, then what does He expect? This is where really the rubber meets the road in the walk of a Christian. Because look at the attitude of Isaiah in Isaiah 6 verse 8 when he says, also I heard the voice of the Lord. Did you see that? Did you catch that? I heard the voice of the Lord. Do you hear the voice of God? He's speaking to you. How do I know that's true? Because He's speaking to me. He hears the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then He said, here's the attitude that God wants for us in our openness when we're with Him in time. He says, here am I. What, church? What does He say? Man, you guys are totally not convinced about that, are you? Or you don't want to say it. Because let me just say, the Lord wants you and me to say, here am I, Lord, send me, right? Let's try that again. Here am I, send me. The Lord woke me up in the middle of the night in October of 07. I don't know why the Lord has a tendency to do that when I'm getting ready to get a new assignment, but He has a tendency to wake me up in the middle of the night. Anybody else have that experience? I mean, He does that. And don't you love digital clocks? Because He woke me up at 2:33 a.m. And it was in a moment that I woke up out of this dead sleep that my mind was racing, my mind was clear, my eyes were open, and I knew the voice of God who created the universe was speaking to me, and He said to me, I have a new assignment for you. And He spoke to me in business terms. I was in business 14 and a half years. He spoke to me in business terms. He said, I want to move you from micro to macro ministry. I want to move you from pastoring a local church to taking my name to the nations, to work with indigenous leaders, to help them reach their own countrymen with the gospel. You go, you preach, you train, you fund, you help them reach their countrymen with the gospel. He said these four words: give, go, ask, expect. You give, you go, you ask expectantly that other people will give and go with you. It's been an amazing journey. Lives have absolutely been changed. Doulos Partners was birthed out of that. As a matter of fact, in my quiet time in November, about 30 days later, the Lord gave me the names of three men. I was in Mobile, they're in Birmingham. I called them up, came up here, met with them. And it was out of that meeting that Doulos Partners was started 8 years ago. Now here's what I've learned. When you open your head and you start to understand the voice of God and you start to understand the will of God, when you have openness to that, He will use you, which leads me to the last fill in here. So I want you to write this. Not only am I to have an open heart and open head, but I'm to have open hands to the work of God, to the work of God. You know, I've watched over my life how many people want to own and take credit for the things that God has done. As a matter of fact, I want you to write that down. It's in that first sentence. It's been amazing to me to watch men who want to own and take credit for the things that God has done. I want you to listen carefully to me, because this is something the Lord has really been teaching me, particularly over the last 8 years. And it shouldn't surprise you that it's happened in that period of time, because the last 8 years has been by far the most productive 8 years of my life. When you understand the Word, and your attitude becomes, here am I, send me, Lord, and you're open to the will of God and the direction of God, and you answer that, and you engage in where He sends you. Listen, make no mistake, when God works, there will be fruit, right? In the fruit, we have to be careful that we don't own that and that we don't take credit for it. And yet there are people all over the place who want to be recognized. They want the accolades of it. They want all of the honor of good things that God is doing. Listen to me carefully. God is the only one that changes someone's life, not us. As a matter of fact, in Proverbs 16, 18, it says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. If you were to go into the concordance of Strong's or somewhere like that and you were to look up the word pride and haughty spirit in the Hebrew, there are a list of words there to describe it. There's one word that's on both lists, and I want you to write this down because that's what this word means. It's the word arrogance. You see, this word pride and this word haughty spirit is where we get the word arrogance. Let me ask you, have you seen arrogance before? You know, I think we see arrogance in a lot of places. We see it, you know, in athletes when they're being interviewed. We see it in actors and actresses. We see it in business leaders and business owners. And, you know, we see it in famous people, rich people. We see it. We see arrogance everywhere. But let me just tell you, the world, church, is not the only place we see arrogance. Would you agree with that? You know, I've seen pastors and leaders of ministries and people who are leading ministry as lay leaders and people who are involved in ministries and churches. And I've seen people, you know, be arrogant about saying, in essence, not out loud, but with their actions, look at what I've done. Look at what I've accomplished. Look at what I've done to help God do. Let me just say, God doesn't need your help. You don't know how I know that? I was in Nepal last spring, and we interviewed 50 of our Nepalese pastors, 50 of them, most of them that lived way up in the Himalayas. And of the 50 that we interviewed, and we did this on video, 20 of them, the Lord appeared to them in a dream. And in the appearance of that dream, they came to accept Christ as their Savior. Does Jesus want us to engage? He does. Has He called us to engage? He has. Are we to engage? Yes. Can He do it without us? Yes. It's not what we have to do, y'all. It's what we get to do. But man, we've got to be careful that we don't own it and that we don't take credit for it. As a matter of fact, I don't know if you listen to contemporary Christian music, but I was introduced to a guy named Jason Upton a couple of years ago, and he wrote a song called Dying Star. If you haven't listened to it, I'd encourage you to go on YouTube and listen to it. It's 8.5 minutes long, and I've just pulled a couple of the verses out, and he said here, you look just like your enemy. Who's our enemy? Satan's our enemy. He says you're full of pride. Why did Satan fall? Satan fell because he wanted God's seat, right? Full of pride. Then he goes on to say, but shining star, I hope you see. Who's the shining star in the song? Those who are taking credit for what God has done. Shining star, I hope you see. If the whole wide world is staring straight at you, they can't see me. You see, when it's all about us, we have people looking at us. There are religious leaders today who have lots of people looking at them, and when people look at us, then they can't see Him. You see, y'all, it's not about us. You see, Doulos is not mine. Westwood is not yours. Who's the head of Westwood? Is the senior pastor the head of Westwood? No. Who's the head of Westwood? Jesus is. The Bible says He's the head. Who's the head of Doulos? Jesus is. Doulos is not mine, it's His. Now, over the last 8 years, Doulos has seen 2.7 million people make a profession of faith in Jesus. We've planted now over 14,200 churches in 28 countries. It would be very easy for me to stand up and say, look at what I've done. But let me tell you, the day that happens, that's pride, that's arrogance. And the Bible also says, you've just received your just reward. Let me Let me tell you guys, we've got to be very careful that as we understand the Word of God and the will of God and the work of God, here is our posture, open hands. Here am I, send me, this is yours. I'm saying to you in advance, yes, I will go where you send me. I will say what you tell me to say. I will be all that you want me to be, because at the end of the day, it's only about you. That's what God has taught me over the last 51 years. I hope it's been beneficial to you today.